Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
The feeling is blue, baby, warm and done. All driving along Highway 51, yeah. New Orleans, baby. Oh, here I come. I'm heading to New Orleans, baby. Here I come.
Highway 51 is near to our hearts in north central Wisconsin and to our two guests on Route 51 this morning, John Altenberg and Mitch Vigood of Johnny and the Motones, a critically acclaimed rhythm and blues band that draws its name from Mosinee, the community along Highway 51 where John's recording studio is located. Mitch hails from the Wausau area, one of the prominent cities that dot Highway 51 on its long journey from far northern Wisconsin south to Louisiana. Highway 51 is also the title cut of the new album by Johnny and the Motones, an album that was recorded in the legendary Warner Brothers Studios in Nashville, Tennessee. It's the third historic road trip for the band, which has also recorded albums at Sun Studios in Memphis, the birthplace of rock and roll, and Muscle Shoals Studios in Alabama, where so many of the great soul music classics of the 60s were recorded. I probably don't have to tell you that John and Mitch are accomplished musicians and producers, each with his own studio and record label, each appearing on dozens of albums. Mitch was the leader of the internationally renowned rock band Aircraft. John has a long solo career playing jazz and blues and has been a prominent supporter and organizer for the regional music scene in north central Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Moberg. Mitch and John would love to hear from you this morning. If you've seen Johnny and the Motones, if you've seen John and Mitch play at John's annual Christmas special at the Grand Theater, if you love the music, maybe you've got a John and Mitch story that you'd like to share with us. Give us a phone call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on our webpage. That's wpr.org/route51. And I'll read it live on the air. Well, John and Mitch, thanks for being with us today.
Well, it's great to be back.
Good morning, Glenn.
Cool album.
Thanks.
This is the fifth CD for Johnny and the Motones. John, why don't you start out and tell us what your thoughts were when you decided to record it?
Well, geez, I don't know. We just kind of start off, and we never really have a concept for this. It always kind of grows. Mitch wrote a song called 51, and that it kind of grew from there. And he had this idea, and he can tell you more about that. And I really loved it. And the whole 51 concept and, you know, road and blues and road trips and all that, it just all makes sense for our band anyway.
Well, Mitch, tell us about the song.
Well, we took a little road trip down to New Orleans about 4 years ago and ended up at the French Quarter Festival. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It's kind of like the jazz and blues festival.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Never been there.
Oh, it's just one of the best. It always amazed me that the blues trail started in Hurley, where fun begins, and ends in New Orleans, where fun begins. I mean, a lot of people don't understand that Highway 51 is that, you know, begins and ends with fun, put it that way.
Well, I know,
we wrote a little song about it.
I know that the CD just came out. How's it being received?
Well, it's really early, although we did pick up a couple of nice syndicated blues shows, and I'm getting emails every day from various stations that are adding it to their playlists and things. But, you know, it's very, very brand new. I don't know how long you got it.
I got it in the mail last week.
Right, exactly. So that's how new it is. And a lot of people probably haven't even gotten it yet because a lot of we send them all over the world, you know, for radio stations. So
I think we'll be on Blues Deluxe next week.
Right. Yeah, that's
the largest syndicated show.
Right. Hey, tell us about Blues Deluxe. What is that?
It's a show produced out of Arlington, Texas, and they have 100 and some stations in their network and, you know, that pick up the show. You know, it's like any of those syndicated shows. And, you know, those are really good for us because it just saturates the market.
Well, 150 stations, yeah.
Right. You know, that's nice.
How much blues gets played on the radio these days?
Right.
Not much.
Right. You got to really hunt and to find these things. But they're all over the world, as you find out, you know, Germany and England and, you know, every place. And Australia has a huge blues network. You know, so you dig those things out. Every album we got to go through and find all the addresses and the contact people, and it's quite a job, but you know, it's worth doing.
Well, Highway 51 is the first new Johnny and the Motones release in what, 5 years?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's about 5 years, I guess.
How do you end up at Warner Brothers Studios in Nashville?
Well, we did a lot of the album or the recordings right here, and we were short some songs. I didn't like one of Mitch's songs. He didn't like one of mine, et cetera, et cetera. So we were going to go down there to master the album at John Mayfield's mastering studio down in Nashville. And he's just a wonderful mastering studio. And then we thought, well, as long as we're going down there, maybe we could record some more tracks, can some of the things that are already on the album, and let's just see what happens.
Mm-hmm. We had a little extra incentive, too, because my daughter works for the Country Music Association. So she's right on Music Row, hanging right out in Nashville every day. We're like, hey, we got a free place to stay.
Place to stay. Right. Very important.
And
to
we had
musicians.
Other friends, you know, and she works. Warner Brothers is basically right next door to her office.
Right. So there's all kinds of, this is a wonderful place, you know, in everybody's there. Across the street was RCA, you know, and all that sort of thing. So did a little research. Mitch did most of the research for that, for this particular studio, and I go, absolutely, let's do it. There was other options, but I really wanted this one bad.
Well, Warner Brothers is pretty well known in Nashville.
Right, right. It's a great studio. Loved it. So,
well, when you think of Nashville, Tennessee, you think of country music. This is not a country album.
No.
Well, Nashville really today is not just country. I mean, it is basically a music hotbed for you name it, you know, rock to blues to, I mean, it's known for country, but it's really just ended up being a music market.
Well, why don't we listen to another cut off the album so folks have an idea of what we're talking about. If you just joined us, we're talking to John Altenberg and Mitch Vigut of Johnny and the Motones. They've got a new CD out called Highway 51. It's their first CD. And this is a cut that was written by John Altenberg, a really pretty song called Rain.
I don't see no other way around it. I can't believe, even though I cannot see it. But I know that you know I cannot fake it, 'cause the paint on the wall is just about fake. And the rain keeps falling down. Yes, the rain keeps falling down, down again. I can't finish what I never started. It's hard to move when your soul is hardened. Oh, by the hill, the clouds are moving in. It's getting darker right over my head.
Tell us a little bit about this song and the composition.
Oh boy,
you hate these questions.
You kind of lose perspective after a while. You know, after you write, you know, from the time your first concept to this, right? But I just sit on my couch basically. I write most of the stuff just sitting with a guitar, even though I'm a piano player, because it's just easy to sit on the couch watching TV and I noodle around.
Well, you've got a music degree in guitar.
Yes, yeah. And so It was supposed to be a lot gentler than what we're hearing, right? Uh-huh. But you put Mitch guitar on there, and all of a sudden it's got a little.
So Mitch,
more
it's your
dry.
Fault.
Well, he made one mistake though, because if we rewrote it today, it would be the snow keeps falling down,
yeah,
not
exactly.
The rain, because right. We have 6 months of snow.
Yeah. I think I kind of wrote it a little bit. We keep getting rained out up in Tomahawk for their Music on the River. So I remember thinking that was in my head, and the rain keeps falling down. At least that was the original concept. So,
when you compose music, do you start with lyrics and then work a melody and chord arrangement around the lyrics, or do you start with the music first and then find words to fit?
Exactly. I write the music first. And I know a lot of people don't do it that way, but the lyrics are the absolute last things to be put on. I may come up with a little hook line. I probably, when I was noodling around, I probably had the rain idea in there, and that's where it ended until I had the whole thing done, and then I finish off the lyrics later.
And you both, as you mentioned, own your own recording studios, and you engineer productions there.
Mm-hmm.
John, why don't you tell us about Riverside Productions in Mosinee?
Well, we've been around since the late 80s. Started off on one-inch tape, that sort of thing, the old 16-track tape. And now we're a full Pro Tools studio, et cetera. So, it's evolved over the years, but it's been around, 30 years now, I guess.
And you've been pretty busy. You've got a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah, I turn down a lot of different things just because I want to work on my own things, but yeah.
And then, Mitch, you've got your own recording studio. Is it called Premier Recording
Studios? Well, back in the 80s, we had a 24-track studio, too, which we did probably 100 different regional albums on. But nowadays, with computers and everything else, I kind of built a studio right in my house.
Mm-hmm.
So I can...
We just trade files back and forth.
It's
such a different
amazing.
Thing.
It's a different world right now in the recording.
Right. Right, so I'll give him some things that I did in my studio, take it to his house, he uploads it and adds to it and gives it back to me. It's incredible. But we both have the same systems.
And this album was mastered in Nashville, parts of it were recorded in Nashville, but parts of it also were recorded
here.
Mitch, in your studio and John in yours.
Yeah. Downtown Wausau on Franklin Street,
yeah.
In the basement.
Right.
Well, let's listen to another cut. This one's a Mitch Vigout composition about a 1974 VW bus.
Thank you.
great vocals, Mitch. It sounds like Elmore James to me.
I was just telling you, I don't know where that inner Elmore James came from, but one of my favorite vocal blues voices, so thank you for the compliment.
And the slide guitar is straight Elmore James, too. You know, and while we were listening to the music, you hear that ba-da-da-da-da, I immediately think key of E.
That you're exactly right, Glenn. You could grab your guitar and jump right in, you know. Yeah, straight blues.
Well, Mitch, I get a feeling that there's a story behind this song. Did you ever own a 1974 VW bus?
I had a 1975 Chevy conversion van, but but the truth of the matter is we were actually going to use the picture for the cover of the album, and then we ended up putting a different picture of Highway 51 on, but I was down in Florida, and there was this bus with a broken window. It was a 1974 VW bus, and somebody was camping it, and I'm like, wow, this is the coolest thing I've seen in 50 years. Yeah, that was kind of the premise of the song.
You know, you drive one of those old VW microbuses around, and you become an instant celebrity. We were on a road trip to Maine this past summer, and some guy pulled into the parking lot with a VW microbus from, like, 68 or 69, and everybody runs it up from all of their vehicles. Everybody wants to get their picture taken in front of this thing.
Yeah, I need to, like, text you the picture of this thing and put it on your website or something, because it had the front windshield was missing a window. You know, it was the classic VW bus, you know, camper in the back. You're just waiting for Haight Ashbury to come creeping out of it or something, you know.
Well, Mitch, when you write, I'm going to ask you the same question. Do you start with the music and write lyrics around it, or do you start with the words?
It goes both ways. Sometimes if I have a lyric idea, I'll try to integrate the hook of the song to start with the lyric. But it's probably about 50-50. Works both ways for me.
Mm-hmm.
Not always music and not always lyric.
Now, you were one of the leaders of Aircraft, an iconic 80s rock band. How did that experience influence what you do today?
I always think, you know, when we toured, I looked at an old tax return a couple of years ago, and it was 330 days overnight in hotel rooms. So when you bring all that back into the blues and what John and I have been doing now, it's like, it was just a lot of gigs under the belt and a lot of musical history under the belt, you know, when you look back.
Well, you must get to the point where nothing phases you anymore.
Right, exactly. You know, now we kind of play music just for the sake of music, not trying to be, you know, successful, or we do what we like to do. And
you had some great musicians with you in that band. Dave Seiden, am I pronouncing
Seiden.
It? Seiden.
Yeah, Seiden.
And he was your vocalist, and Peter Phippen, bassist, who has made a name for himself playing the Indian flute now.
Yeah, I mean, Peter's gone.
He's been nominated for a Grammy, the whole works.
Yeah, yeah. Peter's gone, you know. It's kind of amazing with our original Aircraft band that pretty much everybody stayed in the music field as a career their whole life, you know.
That is amazing.
You know, a lot of bands break up and go work a job or whatever like that. But.
And, John, a couple of years ago, Seiden performed with Janet Planet at your Christmas show. Just absolutely blew the house down.
Right, yeah. And he's been performing with us from time to time. So we love Dave. He's got a great voice and just a wonderful guy to work with. I mean, you couldn't find a better one. He's easier to get along with than Mitch.
Today on Route 51, we're talking with John Altenberg and Mitch Vigood of Johnny and the Motones. I'm Glenn Moberg. Haven't had any phone calls yet, and I know that there are some Johnny and Mitch fans out there. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742, 1-800-780-9742. If you like the music, if you've seen some of John's Christmas shows, maybe you remember Aircraft, maybe you are just really fans of Johnny and the Motones. This is your chance to
Call up and share your favorite Johnny and Mitch stories, or you can put a comment on the Route 51 webpage, wpr.org/Route 51, and I'll read it live on the air. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with much more talk and music after this. Back on Route 51 with John Altenberg and Mitch Bigut of Johnny and the Motones.
I think about my baby every single day. She moves about the house like Doris Day. And just when I think I have the moves to play, she steps out the back door and slips away. Driving her car, her hair flowing back. Hey man, I'll see you later, Jack. We can have a little fun, cruising around the town, the night's still young. Hey, can you make it? Baby, can you shake my night? All right. I'm really not that bad of a guy.
And today on Route 51, we're talking with John Altenberg and Mitch Bigut of Johnny and the Motones. I'm Glenn Moberg. Again, if you'd like to join the conversation, give us a phone call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or put a comment on the Route 51 webpage, wpr.org/Route 51. Well, John, tell us about this one, this song.
I always kind of like, it's got a little bit of a swing to it. And I always like to do one of those. Every album of mine, at least with the Motones, has this kind of flavor to it, with kind of a shout chorus in there. And I just like
the syncopation, so it's not just plod, plod, plod.
Right,
you know, like
get some horns in there and, you know, have some fun with it. Just kind of a fun song. That's kind of what I look at it. It's fun for me anyway.
John, or rather Mitch, tell us about the guitars you were using on this album and specifically on this song.
This song, I think I was playing my 1962 Gibson 330. I think you've seen me play it live. For some reason, I have an affinity for these old guitars, even though they play kind of crappy.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, but they sound great.
But, yeah, I like the sound, you know, and it's like some people might not like it, but it's like you get maybe because we're old now, old is appealing to you.
Well,
you know?
The 330, for people who aren't guitar aficionados, is kind of a B.B. King-style guitar. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, it's kind of with Chuck Berry.
The thin line with the double cutaways.
Hollow body.
And you've got a Les Paul Jr., too, which is...
That's my favorite.
Which is something the
time.
Two of us have in common. Those guitars are not subtle.
No. That guitar has one knob, right? One volume knob, one tone knob.
And it screams.
It's my favorite. Yep, the old Les Paul P90s from the 50s. I don't think they've ever made a better sounding pickup, in my opinion. You know, there's a lot of... Nowadays, you can pretty much manipulate a guitar to do anything you want. But I like that basic guitar sound from the old days.
Well, let's talk about some of the other musicians on the album. We've got John Bruce Lammers on bass.
Bruce has been playing with us for a number of years now. I think he's on the last three albums now, and he's been performing with us for probably 10 years, I would guess. Ryan Kornbod on drums. He's probably been playing with me for 20 years now that I think about it. So, I mean, he's been on a lot of my albums, whether it's jazz or Latin or Motones or whatever, but we've been using Ryan forever. Great guy. John Greiner, of course, the great tenor sax player from the area. he's played on probably 15 out of my 20 albums in my life.
It's amazing the level of musicianship that we have right here in North Central Wisconsin, and John is one of the best.
John is maybe the finest musician I've ever played with in my life. He's just that good.
Plus a stellar standout at the Wausau Conservatory of Music.
Sure.
He's worked to really develop the music scene in this region.
Oh, absolutely. He's fantastic. Pat Phelan, who's we've been using. I actually ended up going to college. There's a unique story with Pat. I went to college with him in Oshkosh. This is back in the early 80s. Hired him for a gig 2 or 3 years ago at my Christmas show. Didn't realize it was the same guy until some college friends actually showed up. And after a Christmas show at the Grand, they says, you know, what's Pat doing? What is Pat Phelan doing now? And they're asking me all these questions. I said, why are you asking me all these questions about this guy? I go, I don't know him. He said, John, you played in the same jazz band with him in college. I go, no, that was Pat Phelan. I go, that's the same guy. I couldn't believe it. But it was 30 years later.
It's like the news business. You'll run into, you run into somebody once, you'll run into him again somewhere else.
Right. So now I've been hiring him for everything I can do, but he also plays in some other bands, so I can't always get him, but he's great. He's a wonderful player. Who else do we have here?
Travis King?
Well, let's just keep with the local guys first. Paula Hall makes an appearance. Tom Wachotka. From Janet Planet fame and all that.
Right, great sax player.
Right. Ben Peterson, another local player.
I've played with him as a part of the Sid Kyler Jazz Band. Nobody can replace Sid Kyler, but right. Ben is the new trumpet player.
Right, and now that Bob Case is no longer around, plus he's done underneath Bob Case, so Ben's great. We've used him several times for shows and things. And then our two Nashville guys, Travis King on drums, great, great player. And Thomas Banks on bass. And I think Mitch's daughter found these guys down in Nashville, and they ripped it up.
They made us feel young again.
Yeah.
They're in their 20s.
Oh, right, yeah. A couple of hotshot guys down in Nashville, and they were professional, and they were rock solid. Read the charts, no problem.
Well, two musicians who've played on other Johnny and the Motones albums aren't on this one. Otis McLennan, a great harp player.
Right, and he's made some appearances, sure.
And Chris O'Keefe, a great guitar player. I think this is the first album that he's not on.
Right, and we'll get him back, absolutely. I love working with Chris. I've been working with him since, the late 80s. So, this time it didn't work out, but I'm sure the next one will. And, we love Chris.
I like the fact that you have kind of a rotating ensemble of people with this group. It gives it some staying power, and it allows you to do some fresh things.
Sure, sure. I love working with new people, and I can't count all the people I've worked with in my career. I mean, it's got to be 1,000 people at this point in my life, with either performing or recording. So, I always like to keep it fresh, but I do like my core people too.
And the group continues to be a big draw in central Wisconsin. The outdoor shows on the 400 block in Wausau always have huge crowds.
Yeah, we're very fortunate. Yeah.
And I think we're fortunate to have the music scene that we've got in this area and some of the venues we've got, Mitch.
I think people should appreciate what Wausau has done downtown with the 400 block and it's
theater,
really,
everything.
Really, it's Grand Theater. Yeah, it's amazing what the...
You can search the state over and not find a better summer concert series outside as in Wausau. And trust me, I've played them all. And there's nothing finer than what's going on downtown every summer. That is just, it's unbelievable.
The city needs a lot of
credit for that. You got 3,000 people show up. That's unheard of,
Absolutely. And those renovations on the 400 block and at the Grand Theater and the Center for Visual Arts, the whole arts block.
Worth every penny.
And all of that with volunteer money,
Right.
People step forward. The government, the local government, had very little to do with it.
Right, right.
Well, let's listen to another cut. Here's a John Altenberg composition called Make It.
I woke up from the time of my life, wondering where I've been. 6 months since I've seen the sun, I think I need some rest. I heard their hiring
job. Got a song running through my head. I need to lay it down. We're gonna make it.
This song has kind of a Steely Dan feel.
Yeah, it wasn't supposed to be. It was supposed to be a slow blues. And I wrote the thing in the morning. I finished up the lyrics literally an hour and a half before we got to the studio. And it was kind of a, I had wrote something, I don't know, a few months before that, and I kind of took little pieces. And it was supposed to be this, you know, this very slow kind of bluesy thing. And I was going through it with the drummer. And I've got the charts, and I had to familiarize myself with the chords. So I'm playing it real fast just to get through the chart.
Right.
Just to, and all of a sudden, the drummer picks up on that and kicks off a beat, which is much faster than what I wanted to play with it. And I thought, you know, I kind of like it. I kind of like it. And that's how I got to that thing. And the drummer was just following me, you know. But I like it, and he did a great job. This was recorded down in Nashville. At Warner Brothers, and I think everything we did there was in one take. You know, we just whipped through this stuff, and these guys, you know, were great to work with.
The Steely Dan guitar style riffs and runs here, Mitch.
Yeah, I know. I'm a big Steely Dan fan from back in the 70s. And actually, it was kind of running through my head when I was playing like this.
Yeah.
It's funny you mention it.
Well, this is the third time that you've recorded in an historic studio. John, why don't you tell us about that first album, Two Hits for the Kitty, which was recorded in Sun Studios in Memphis.
Yeah, that was purely by accident. I was taking the Sun Studio tour, just like any good little tourist would. And they had all the vintage recording equipment and instruments and all that, and and at the end of the tour, they asked if there was any questions, and I raised my hand, and I said... you got everything, but you don't have an old lathe recorder. How come? You know, from the 50s. And they said, because we've searched the world over and we can't find one. I said, I have two. And so eventually I brought one down and put in their museum. It's still there to this day. And I think that was in 2004. It's still there. And if you go to Sun Studio Museum, you'll see it with little John Altenberg from Mosinee, Wisconsin label on it. And the owner of Sun Studios, name is John Shore. I'm assuming he's still the owner. I don't even know anymore. Mm-hmm. But he was very appreciative. He says, bring the boys down for a recording session. And we don't really need free studio time because we own our own studio. But I thought, we can't pass this up.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's how it started. And the whole Johnny and the Motones thing wasn't even supposed to be a band. I didn't want my name on it because I didn't think it was very good. So... Chris O'Keefe actually came up with the name, and because I said, let's just do this. We'll release the album, but don't put my name on it. So he's the one that came up with the Johnny and the Motones idea. And then it spent 18 weeks on the blues charts, and we were stuck with Johnny and the Motones. That's how it started, you know.
Well,
but it wasn't supposed to be a band.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, you know. And then we decided to go to Fame and Muscle Shoals, another great old studio, right. And then now Warner Brothers.
Well, Sun Studios is just a hole in the wall.
It really is.
But yeah. The history, you've got bluesmen like B.B. King, Ike Turner, and Howlin' Wolf mixing with these young white guys, hillbillies. Right. You know, Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins in the early 50s. And
I recorded on Jerry Lee Lewis's piano, you know, in that studio. So that
did you set it on fire? That's
well, you know, it was kind of out of tune, but I kind of liked it that way. So.
When I was down there, my favorite story was Bruce Springsteen walked in the front door, came in, and kissed the floor and walked out because he wanted to pay homage to where, you know, rock and roll all started.
Yeah, that was
pretty cool.
Well, and then the other road trip to Fame Studios, as you mentioned, in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, for the album Get Gone.
Right. Yeah, that was great, too. We got to use a couple of the old, what are they called? The
Swampers.
So the Swampers, you know.
The Swampers. Explain that.
Well, the Swampers was kind of a nickname for all the sidemen that recorded They were like an in-house group of pliers. And David Hood was an original Swamper. Do you remember the old song, the Leonard Skinner song? Muscle Shoals has its Swampers.
Right,
there's
right.
a line. That's what they're referring to.
Sweet Home Alabama.
Sweet Home Alabama.
I never understood that
right.
until now.
Right, so Muscle Shoals has its Swampers. They're referring to this group of guys.
They basically played on everybody's album. They were the backup musicians that
right.
cut the tracks.
No, it's kind of like,
Muscle Shoals.
Motown. Motown, excuse me. Motown had its own session players that were Fabulous Funk Brothers who were...
Right, and that's what these guys were. And so David Hood was an original one. The drummer was a latter day, you know, member. But David Hood is an original Swamper. And, you know, he's on all those documentaries about Fame Studio that you see on PBS and all that. And he was our bass player. He was great.
Great soul music of the 60s yeah. came out of there. Wilson Pickett, Aretha Franklin mm-hmm. really defined that whole right. sound and kind of brought rhythm and blues music to a mainstream top 40 audience.
Right, right. It was just, you know, we got to meet, what's his, Hall, is the Rodney Hall, is that his first name? I can't remember, but he's the guy, and he's still there, at least he was in 2007 when we did it, and he gave us the grand tour, took pictures with us and all that sort of thing, so it was really, really cool. So, yeah,
that
great experience.
It is a pretty integral part of the history of, like you're saying, you know, you get Wilson Pickett and all the... transformation, you know, of blues to rock to integrating.
And all of that music made it onto top 40 radio stations like yeah. WLS in Chicago and
Mustang Sally.
White suburban housewives were horrified at what their children were listening
right.
to.
Well, it's kind of like the Bermuda Triangle of music down there. You've got Muscle Shoals, which is a little south up to Memphis and then over to Nashville. And so we kind of hit, that was kind of our goal, to hit all three. So that's that great, you know, Southern music tradition, and so that's why we wanted to catch all three of those places, really.
Right. We bring a couple of white boys down from Wisconsin.
right.
Well, down from Hurley, where the
down
fun
from
starts.
Hurley, where the fun starts. Yeah. yeah.
Let's listen to another cut off the latest CD. It's another road song, a Mitch Vigood composition called Going to Carolina. Tell us about this one.
Well, the concept of this song is sometimes you just want to get away from the man. the big man who's in charge of everything. And so going to Carolina was a little bit of a concept of going to a place where life is good and things are good and don't have to answer to the big dog.
Well, cars, the great open road, and rock and roll, they all go together.
Yeah, exactly.
Today on Route 51, we're talking with John Altenberg and Mitch Vigut of Johnny and the Motones about their new album, Highway 51. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 webpage, wpr.org/Route51. We're going to take a short break. With John Altenberg and Mitch Vigut of Johnny and the Motones. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Let's take a closer listen to the title cut of their new CD, Highway 51. Well, Mitch, Highway 51 is really iconic. To my mind, it's kind of like a north-south version of Route 66, stretching along the belly of America from far northern Wisconsin all the way south to Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Yep, heading right through Memphis. As my lyric says, having a beer at the Apicarthy.
Well, an obvious choice for the title cut for the album, John.
It was a no-brainer. You know, when he wrote the song, no-brainer at all.
Mitch, why the focus on New Orleans? Why not I'm Heading South to Mosinee? It would rhyme exactly
yes,
the same.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, why not, Mitch? That's a good question, Glenn.
If you've ever been in New Orleans, I think the music from the horns and everything else you hear down there is amazing, right? So it's like, feels like all music roots from the Midwest and everywhere else all boil over in New Orleans if you ever go visit. I mean, it's quite an amazing place. So.
I can't imagine the air conditioning bill for some of those bars on Bourbon Street, you know, it's 100 degrees and humid outside, and they've got the front doors and the front windows wide open. You walk inside there, and it's like walking into an icebox.
I think the majority of air conditioning comes from a drink called the Hurricane. About 64 ounces of
ice and booze. Yeah.
I love the tone on your guitar in this piece. Let's listen to it for a second. You deliberately put kind of a jazz style, almost a Wes Montgomery tone.
Yeah, I worked on the tone. I think I recorded about four different guitar tones on this track alone. I tried it with a real distorted tone and played that for a week, and then I recorded it with a real dry tone, and then kind of ended up with like a Joe Pass or whatever.
Yeah,
jazzier,
yeah.
Cleaner tone for it.
It works.
Blended. It's good to hear somebody else say that they enjoy it, because I liked it. Yeah.
It works. It reminds me a little bit of the sound Mike Bloomfield had, a great late guitar player with the Butterfield Blues Band. And, you know, he played with a really clean sound but still made it work with rock and roll and rhythm and blues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's listen to one more composition because we're running out of time. This is a John Altenberg song called Wait For Me.
There's a cloud overhead that just follows me around. I can't seem to shake it, even on the other side of town. No money in my pocket, no gas in the car, no room in the closet, so we kick it all around. And I know you don't know the reason, and I know you don't know the plan. It's a long time coming, doing the best I can. So wait for me, wait
just hold on a little bit longer.
Well, John Altenberg, you obviously love the rhythm and blues ballads.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for a real gospel-flavored kind of slower blues. I've done one on every album that I can think of. And I just love that feel. And with Griner in the back doing those little sax splashes.
Oh, this is John Griner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Gospel music is so instrumental to some of the great rhythm and blues.
Yeah.
Flip side of the same coin as they say, you know, the God's music and the devil's music.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I just like this flavor. And, you know, I'll always have one on an album, I think, you know. So,
you developed your reputation as a jazz musician. Talk a little bit about jazz and this nexus, this place musically where jazz and blues meet.
Well, you know, I played in a rock band, you know, in high school and then shortly thereafter. And then I played in a little bit of a blues band, and then for whatever reason, I just loved the sound of jazz at some point. And I had some good friends that were in it, so I jumped into it and recorded, I don't know, 7-8 albums of it. But then, you know, after a while, I play the same type of piano no matter if I'm playing blues or jazz or country or rock, mm-hmm. you know, and I just use it just a little different language. But it's all the same thing, really. And so I just like so many different types of music that I need to go and do everything. And it's kind of hurt my career in some facets simply because, at least historically, is because I can't seem to stay in one area. I'll whip out a Latin album or something, you know. However, at this stage in my life, now that I'm starting to license music for all sorts of different things, I have that much more opportunity to license my music. And I've been doing that for the last 4 to 5 years now. And now that I have this very eclectic, you know, library of music, I have a lot more things I can go for and try to get. So it's worked out in the long haul.
Mitch Vigut, what's the experience been like recording this CD? And this is the last question because we're out of time.
Oh, I think it's just been, it's fun. It keeps you engaged in music and open to, you know, working with great musicians, listening to other ideas, implementing them into a, you know, you finally get a final product out, and then you just hope the public enjoys it as much as you do.
Are we going to see the two of you in another Christmas show this December?
Oh, I suppose. Sure. We never seem to go away, Glenn.
Guys, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank
today.
You, thanks, Glenn. Thanks for your years of service here, buddy.
We want to thank today's guests, John Altenberg and Mitch Vigut of Johnny and the Motones. The new CD is called Highway 51. You can find out more at Altenberg, that's Altenburgh.com. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Janice Schleiss. Thanks to John Altenberg as well for the Route 51 theme song. Special music today, of course, by Johnny and the Motones. Next week, we look at an ambitious new project called Beyond the Headlines. It's an effort by our local law enforcement agencies and those of us in the media to bridge the gap between the public and the police. If you missed part of this show, you can hear it again Friday evening at 7 on WHRM 90.9 FM Wausau. You can download it at wpr.org/route51. Thanks again for riding along with us today on Highway 51. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town.